taught you day the Torah way, Rabbi Yechiel Chadad.
Good morning, and so nice to be here again. It's very interesting, Makas Choyshech, what happened. There was first 3 days of darkness, and then 3 days of even stronger darkness, as everyone knows. So the 3 days of, the second 3 days, Rashi brings the Midrash that says it was an order for Am Yisrael to go and snoop around and find all the Mitzrayim's treasures. And when they found the treasures, they could go and, before they left Mitzrayim, they could go and tell them, I know where your treasures are. You have to find. So there's a question asked, obviously, Hashem says, Nasati l'chein ha'am, you know, Mitzrayim are going to find favor in you're going to find favor in the Mitzrayim's eyes. If so, why do they need to know where the treasure is? Mitzrayim are going to they're going to find favor in the Mitzrayim's eyes, and Mitzrayim are going to want to give them all these treasures. So why do they need to know? And the answer, I think, is Ikar Sifrei Chachamim. He says that this is why they found favor in the eyes of the Mitzrayim. Because they could have stolen it in the darkness, where no one would have ever known who stole what, and they didn't steal it. And that's what gave favor in the eyes of the Mitzrayim for them to Vayash Ilum. They left their belongings with them and trusted them. Now, nowadays technology allows us to snoop around in a similar fashion. If you go online nowadays, you could buy a hidden camera in the form of a button, a pen, a watch, you name it, and it doesn't cost a lot. It's very simple to do this stuff, and it doesn't end there. What about hacking? Hacking is so easy nowadays. If you can't afford to rent or to use a hacker, you can actually become one with an online course of a very short time. You can become a hacker yourself. So, how is this practical for us? So obviously this is practical for us because it's our real life. Our real life involves us trying to find out sometimes information about other people. We sometimes looking into employing a new employee, or want to team up with a business partner, or shidduch. If we're looking into a shidduch, we want to know every possible detail we can to find out, right? We don't want to trust our children to go out with any person. So this is very practical nowadays. Now, if we know the geder of tzinas haprat, where privacy comes in, according to halacha, then we will know also how far we could dig into someone's privacy, for what reasons. Some other questions that arise are, how about, this was common in Eretz Yisrael, in yeshiva that I was in, that the mashgiach used to go into a Talmud's a private cupboard, where he had all this stuff, if he was choshed that this bocher had anything not suitable for the yeshiva, and he would go through everything till he finds something wrong. So, is this allowed? Is it not allowed? So in order to find out which ones are allowed, which ones are not allowed, we first have to discover which isurim may be involved when spying on others, or when trying to dig up information on others. So, I have put down here four that I found. But we'll start with the main one, which is Hezek Re'iyah. Hezek Re'iyah, I put papers out here with the references, that when I make a reference, everyone can read it inside, so no one gets bored when I read out myself. Then Hezek Re'iyah, we learned the din of Hezek Re'iyah, that damaging others through looking at their properties, or looking at their any personal information, as we may find out what it means. We learn it from a Mishnah in Bava Vasra. It's the first reference here. The Mishnah in Bava Vasra, 59b and 60a, forbids neighbors from constructing windows from which they could peer into their neighbors' yards, or that are facing their neighbors' windows. Okay, so when you build a house, the Mishnah is telling us, you build a house, on the second floor you have a window, a nice big window. However, You can make this window to get light into the house, but you can't use this window to peer into your neighbor's window or his yard. So if from this window you are easily available, it's easily available for you to see what's going on in your neighbor's yard, this window is not allowed to be built. So you have to move it around, change it around, change the whole construction plan. Main thing is, the window shouldn't be opposite your neighbor's window or your neighbor's yard. Now, what's the source of this? The Gemara, in second reference here, the Gemara, straight after that, says, brings the source from from Bamidbar. Vayisa Bilam et Einav vayar et Yisrael shochen shvato v'atiya alav ruach Elokim. Bilam went to curse Am Yisrael, as everyone knows, and he saw the tents of Am Yisrael. The entrances were all made in a fashion that no two entrances of two neighbors would be facing each other. So here again, we see the same thing, that we're not allowed to make a petach or a chaloin that will give us a possibility to look into our neighbors. Yes. That's what he said, thank you. Matoiva Alecha Yaakov, he says, it's so beautiful, the Ahalim, the tents that you make, what's so beautiful about it? She'ein pitchei aholeyem mechuvonim ze leze. Very good. Now, we need to discuss this. Does it mean? Yeah. Good point. The Iriyat in Israel, the mayoral municipality, whatever you call it, the Iriyat, they decide on all the building, all the construction rules. If it was Medinat Chok, now it is Medinat Chok, it's not Medinat Torah, as they like to say. What can we do? Right, all the buildings have to be built according to the regulations of the town. Yeah, thank you. So, it wasn't Talmid Chacham who built those houses. So now what we need to discuss is what we learned from this Mishnah and from the Gemara here. Do we learn that this is a policy on constructing houses? Or is this a general rule that tells us, respect your neighbor's privacy? Why is there two places here to see? There is obviously two places, because first of all, it says, the whole source of this is from Bilam, who says, "Ein pitchei aholei mechuvanim lezeh," which means the way they built the houses, literally, the way they built the houses, the tents, was done in a fashion that you can't see into someone else's house. Does this mean? This doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not allowed to go and look into someone else's house. It just means this is the policy of building a house. Or we can see a second way. The second way to learn this would be, why did no one make a petach keneged petach? In order so as not to respect the other's privacy. There's two ways to learn it. Now, what's the right way? And this obviously will have impact on our current day situations. So, the Ramban, I brought this in reference, the third reference down, on the commentary to Baba Vasra. It says, Kevan Devadai. Wait, I'll tell you what he's talking about first. He's talking about someone who built his window, already built his window, and this window is overlooking the neighbor's yard or other window, whatever it is. However, when he built it with consent. The neighbor said, I see you already building it, it's fine, go ahead, build it, doesn't bother me. Now, the Ramban said, even though he has permission from his neighbor, he still has to seal this window. After he built it with permission, he still has to seal it. We'll see his reasoning over here in reference number 3. Kevan devadai osur hu lemazik lehazikoi bereiyo velestakil bo ledas. Vein adam yochel lizor b'chach lamoit kol hayom beitzim asinayim. Al kocheinu, nomar lezeh, stoim chaloin chaval techtatode. In loose translation, he's saying, we can't let someone say, someone can't trust himself to not look through this window. Right? You're giving yourself a massive opportunity to look into someone's private life. You made yourself a nice big window. We're not going to trust you to say you won't look in. It's impossible. You can't go around with blind eyes. So therefore we say, seal it. Seal the window, and this way you won't be choyte toder, you won't be doing averus all the time. And we see similar, this is the svara that we use in our everyday lives in everything, right? If we know we can't overcome something in a certain yitzhara or something, we have to block it out because we know we can't overcome it. The Ramban uses this to tell us you won't be able to overcome your natural tendency to look into your neighbor's yard. Because it's so interesting. You want to know, you hear some shouting going on, you hear the you naturally want to go and see what's going on. He said, save yourself and seal the window. That's the Ramban. So obviously, yeah, but I hear very good. You're getting into next points. But really, Los Ahmad is an extra one. It's a new one, Los Ahmad. I hear what you're saying, but the context where he's talking about Baba Basra. Right? And Daf 68, which is exactly where they're talking about Hezek Ri'ah. That's the context of Hezek Ri'ah. I'm not talking about Lo Tachmod and all the other Isurim that may be involved, which is, Lo Tachmod I hear, is another possible Isur for not spying on others, because it will make you jealous, right? But the Ramban here is definitely talking about Hezek Ri'ah. He even says, Kevan Devaday also Lamazik, he's calling it Mazik, Lahaziko, he's bringing Nezek. It's Hezek Ri'ah. What we're talking about here, damaging through eyes. Okay?
How do you damage through
eyes? Oh, we're getting there. That's the Ramban later on. But it's not only that. It's not only Ayin Hara. There's three options. We'll get there. But you Kdam Tata Murcha, you're saying you're ready towards the end what we're gonna see. So this is the Ramban. So far the Ramban says, recap, he goes like side 2 that we said, that this din, this halacha that the Mishnah brings, is a halacha that is a general rule to respect other person's privacy. Okay. Now however, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, you don't have to seal the window. You built it with consent from the neighbor, you don't have to seal the window. Simple as that. Shulchan Aruch brings this down as halacha, that you don't have to seal the window. Does this mean no personal privacy? We'll see. The Rama adds, and this I put in the reference, the Rama adds that even though there was no obligation to seal, but you're not allowed to go to the window and peer into it, right? Because this is, again, violating someone's privacy. And we'll see.
Sorry.
Hey, go ahead. Very good, very good. Very good. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, you'll see later on in the thing, that there is a difference between standing to look, or if you just passed by and you noticed, right? You can't stop yourself from noticing things. You're naturally interested human being, so you will obviously see things. But if you stand at the window, so what the Rama is saying, like you're saying, do not stand and stare, and do not try to find out what's going on in your neighbor's house. If you pass by, yeah. So the Rama inside on the Shulchan Aruch, I put it on reference, the fourth reference down. Afilu leman da'omar yesh lo chazaka. Yeah, he has a chazaka on his window because he built it with consent. Haynu legufa shel chaloin. He has chazaka on the window itself. De lo yuchal ba'al echotze lesot moi oilim choisboi. Yeah, your neighbor can't tell you to go and seal it or take it down. Why? Because as we said, you built it with consent. Aval, hu osu la'amoid b'chaloin v'lu ois b'chotze chaveroi k'dei shelo yazikenu b'ri yosoi. He says, it doesn't matter if you built it with consent or you didn't build it with consent, you'll always be prohibited from looking into your neighbor's property. So here we see so far that it's a general rule of respecting someone's privacy and not only a policy for building houses. Now, where did the Rama's source come from? This is the next reference I brought down from the Rashba, Tshuva Sarashba, concerning a case of a person who 25 years, he had a window facing, overlooking his neighbor's yard. After 25 years, the neighbor comes along and says, Mechila, but you're looking into my property. I don't agree. Seal your window. So they go to the Rashba. The Rashba says that even according to the opinion that you're not required to seal the window, still you're not allowed to peer in. Just like we saw what the Rama says, this is exactly what the Rashba says. It's the source of the Divrei HaRama, that even according to the opinion that you don't have to seal the window, you're still not allowed to peer into your neighbor's property. Rashba here.
Would there be a chiyuv to put frosted glass in?
That's like sealing it.
You're
saying you still benefit because you still have the light coming through. Okay, but there's still you might see Mechavera here. He's going to have to change the glass. It's still a nezek moment. Yeah, but I hear maybe. Who am I? Okay, so let's see the reference here. The Rashba, what he says, "Davar baruch she'ein Shimon yochel la'amud b'chaloin k'day shelo yazik b'yosel Reuven, ein lo lahatzitz b'menu l'chotzer Reuven k'day shelo yazikem yizikenu b'yosel." Ve'ein ze tzorich lifnim. He adds these few words at the end. Ein ze tzorich lifnim. This is obvious. This is something everyone should know. I don't need to be talking about this. He was only debating whether he should have to seal the window or not have to seal the window, but it's obvious to him that you don't have to go, that you're not allowed to go and stand at the window and look into your neighbor's property. So, in accordance to this, we see the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the next day, he says, in the context of Hezek Ru'iyah, that it's an outright issa to look into someone else's property. And we see in the reference here, he said, it's got strong words. Asu l'stakil b'asoko b'ma'asof shel chaveyo. She'im odom oise asoko b'veisoi b'shusoi. Asu l'oisei sheloi midasoi. Shema einoi chofitz sheyedu b'ma'aso v'asoko. You don't know what other people are doing in their house, and you don't know if they want you to know. More likely, they don't want you to know, because that's why they're doing it in their own house, and not in public. So, we see from here, the Shulchan Aruch Harav is telling us, it's obvious you're not allowed to look. It's a general rule of privacy. Again, we're seeing all the poskim coming down, boiling down to the point that this din of the windows is a general rule of respecting someone's privacy and not just a policy of when you build a house, where to put the window. The Shulchan Aruch Harav later adds, and this is the next reference, in the same place, just chapter 13, he writes, "Af bnei rishus harabim einam rishayim la'amoid." And this, here we're going back to what Reuven said, that there's a difference if you walk past and you happen to see, or you stopped to see what happened. Nowadays we see, it's very common nowadays as well, this halacha l'maisa, if you're walking past on the street and you see an ambulance stop and someone you know is on the ground, if you're a paramedic or you can do anything to help, b'chavod, stand. However, if you have nothing to do there, all you want to do is satisfy your sense of curiosity, then it's not the right place to be. And here Shulchan Aruch Harav is bringing it and telling you simple words. Even if someone looks at a small something, it just peers in, it's already a big koshi for him. These things that people don't want to be seen doing, this is respecting someone's personal privacy, and we have to all make sure we look after ourselves and our neighbors. So, Now, this brings us to the ultimate question on this subject. Is this issur only to peer into someone's property? Because everything we've seen so far is looking into someone else's property, right? All the Shulchan Aruch, what the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Rambam, and also the Shulchan Aruch Rav at the end, he says this is all into peering, talking about or peering into someone else's property. However, what would be the din if you are just looking into someone's private, intellectual property? For example, if you, as we said before, hacking into someone's computer. So hacking into someone's computer, you're not going into his property, l'chora. We're not sure on that, but it's not his property, let's say. Yeah? So maybe this din doesn't apply there. So to answer this, we're bringing the Ramban. This is the last reference on the page. That he defines hezekriya consisting of three main elements. Imishum ayin hara, imishum lishnebisha, which is lashon hara, imishum tzniusa. Three main elements is ayin hara, as Reuven already told us, and lashon hara, and tznius. Ayin hara, the Gemara says, lo yamad adam b'koyma lifnei sedei chaveiro b'sha'ah she'akoyma. I can't remember the exact wording, but it's, you're not allowed to stand in front of your friend's field at the time where it is flourishing. Why? Because it's a natural tendency to say, wow, it's so beautiful. And then what happens? Ayin hara. What's ayin hara? Is when Hashem, the Malachim hear people saying, wow, he's got such a nice car. And then they go up to Hashem and say, maybe he really doesn't deserve such a car. And then they do a din v'cheshbon if he deserves. And then obviously we don't deserve what we have. So that's ayin hara. Next, he says, is lishna bisha. How is it Lashon Hara? We have to explain now. How is it Lashon Hara to look into someone else's property? Any suggestions? Sorry? Oh. So it's giving you... You're saying it's giving you the possibility to speak Lashon Hara to others. Oh, yeah. Very good. Very good. I think I agree with you on that. I think that the ayin hara, the lashon hara over here is that it gives you the possibility. Because when you see someone's personal information, you sometimes come across, you potentially will come across something not perfect, something dodgy, and you may go around talking about it. And even if you didn't go around talking about it, the fact that you've seen it will make you want to talk about it. It's all part of lashon hara. So this is coming back to what Shulchan Aruch Harav in the second reference is saying. That if you can't do anything about it, you just pass by and you hear, or you're in your house and they're in their house and the fight gets so loud that you can actually hear it from your house without having an open window, then obviously this is nothing, it's not in your control. So this doesn't count as Lashon Hara, because you never wanted to, if you're not wanting to look into someone else's property, it doesn't come to you, probably naturally, it doesn't come to you that you also want to talk about it. Yeah, great. Tzaddikim can also put something on the earth. So, and the third element is tznius. Right? Tznius. What does tznius boil down to? Respecting someone's privacy. Right? So, here we see Hezekriya is not only a building policy, not only construction policy, rather it is a general rule to respect someone's privacy. Someone who does not respect someone else's privacy is over al hezekriya, and it's a proper nezek. I don't know exactly how much you can charge for it, I don't know all the dinim, but there is a nezek called hezekriya. So, where does this apply? Obviously, ayin hara, I think, doesn't apply to someone, if you're not looking at someone's property, you're just prying into his personal information. Where's ayin hara in there, right? But it's still you still have the other two of mishum tznius and mishum lashon hara. So therefore, we have to keep away from looking into other people's private things. So now let's think of the possibilities where we would want to look into someone else's personal details, where we would be interested in someone's personal details. And let's discern what the halacha would be. Your son or daughter is going on a shidduch. Now, you want to know everything you can possibly find out about the prospect. And so, what would you do? How far can you go? Can you wiretap his stender to hear exactly what he's talking about in Seder? Can you... Where's the boundaries, right? So, let's go through it. Ein hara. There's no ein hara here, if you're not peering into his property. Loshen hara. Loshen hara. Yeah, you might make ein hara over here. And tznius, obviously, you're going to someone's personal properties, and this is not tznius. However, the second question we spoke about was when someone... What was the second question we spoke about? We spoke about if you want to hire an employee or you want to meet up with a business partner, you also want to know. I think it would be similar to such a case. And the third thing we spoke about was a mashgiach, going into someone's personal cupboard to find something to complain about. So the mashgiach in yeshiva goes through someone. So obviously there's a din of chinuch over here. Now, does it override tznius? Does it override Loshon Hara? Leaving that to the mashgichim. So now, I want to speak about some more possible isurim when spying into someone else's property or someone else's personal information. Now, I've left a place because everyone can come up with more and more isurim, because it's just a place where you can find so many. As Reuven added, Lois Achmoid. I didn't think of that before. Lois Hachmoid as well. You're giving yourself a possibility to become jealous by looking into someone else's property. So another case would be V'havta l'recha kamoicha. Right? Don't do to others what you wouldn't like done to yourself. Rabbi Akiva, famous Gemara, Amar Rabbi Akiva, V'havta l'recha kamoicha, ze klal gadol batoya. It's a big klal. Why is this a klal gadol batoya? Why not V'havta l'shem l'kecha, ze klal gadol batoya? What's the big klal over here? He says the big klal, it's famously understood that the big klal over here is because if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you've already got all the mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveir.
It says, tov shachem tov mi'ach
rachok. Better have a close neighbor than a faraway brother. Nachon. Yeah. So here we see, v'havta l'recha kamocha, we want to show our neighbors love and respect the way we would like to be done ourselves. And this is a halacha. This isn't just a general nice thing to do. Now, second one that I brought up is a bit more interesting. You can go a bit deeper, and there's much to discuss about it. Shoyel shelo midas. Shoyel shelo midas is when you want to borrow something from someone without his permission. This is not allowed. The Torah's Chaim says you're not allowed to read someone else's letter. For what reason? Because it's the writer's ownership. The writer has ownership on this. He wrote it, it's his property, and therefore he decides who reads it and who doesn't read it. Now, if we say that intellectual property, meaning our personal information, belongs to us, then we can apply the Torah's Chaim's theory also over here. We can say, so too, when someone wants to look into our property, into our personal information, he's actually looking at our property, and that would consist of shel shelo midas, right? Oh, you're saying Rabbeinu Gershom, who added, you're saying why did he have to add the cherem if it's already an isser? Okay, very good question. Because Rabbeinu Gershom, some say he actually didn't add this Isser, it was already Isser, he just needed to make sure everyone holds of it and made the Cherem to make it stronger at the time. Right, at the time there were many things going on, and it was a kenis of all the Rabbonim where Rabbeinu Gershom came and sat down with them, and he made all the takanas that he made. But he didn't. Some of these things are halachas that are brought up in as we said, as Hazakriya, after Recha Kamorcha, Shoyel shelo midas, so far, right? These old things, Rabbeinu Gershom didn't make it up. He just brought it together and made a cherem on someone who doesn't keep it. Sorry? Not dafka the letter. He made other other those he made a chayim on many, many things. There's famous three. There's the famous three. There's many more. And this one he also put a chayim on, but and in fact what Rabbeinu Gershom so if you're already bringing up chayim the Rabbeinu Gershom, not to read others' letters, right? On that one you're referring to?
Yeah.
So the Rabbeinu Gershom himself, the Sephardim, not all Sephardim accepted his takonos, right? He made it in Atzus Ashkenaz, it was in Germany, I think. And Sephardis didn't accept it because they had a different society. They didn't need these chayims. However, this one, of not reading others' letters, Sephardis also accepted. This is a general, so this shows us that it's a general rule of privacy. Again, Hezek Ru'iyah and everything else, it's a general rule to respect someone's privacy. So, referring to Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom there, it's not to read someone else's letters. Does that apply for all types of privacy violations? Or just reading a letter? I mean, it's a chayim at the end of the day. You can't apply a chayim to whatever you want. He said the chayim is on someone who reads someone else's letter. Right? So, to summarize, I think chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom would be a nice other issur to add on to this list. However, I think it applies only to letters, emails, and stuff like that. I don't think it applies to all other personal information.
We'll make it into Torah on it, so it's worth looking through your window.
For sure. Yeah, it's a nezek. It's a proper nezek. You may come out quite wealthy. Okay. If anyone comes up with other isurim, other possible things, anything to comment or discuss, or even if you would like to discuss more, I left my email at the bottom over there. Thank you very much, guys.